ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाई हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेंद्र स्वामी प्रभुपाद की ट्रांसलेशन. माई डियर सन, देर आफ्टर योर नाइन ब्रदर्स हु आर द मास्टर्स ऑफ लिविंग क्रीचर्स परफॉर्म द सेक्रीफाइस विद प्रॉपर रिचुअल्स टू सेटिस्फाई बोथ द मैनिफेस्टेड एंड नॉन मैनिफेस्टेड पर्सनैलिटीज. पर्पट, द मैनिफेस्टेड पर्सनैलिटीज आर द डेमीगॉड्स लाइक द रूलर ऑफ द हेवनली किंगडम इंद्र एंड हिज एसोसिएट्स. And the non-manifested personality is the Lord Himself. The manifested personalities are mundane controllers of the material affairs, whereas the non-manifested personality of Godhead is transcendental, beyond the range of the material atmosphere. In this age of Kali, the manifested demigods are also not to be seen, for space travel has completely stopped. So both the powerful demigods and the supreme personality of Godhead are non-manifested to the covered eyes of the modern man. Modern men want to see everything with their eyes, although they are not sufficiently qualified. Consequently, they disbelieve in the existence of the demigods or of the Supreme God. They should see through the pages of authentic scriptures and should not simply believe their unqualified eyes. Even in these days, God can also be seen by qualified eyes, tinged with the ointment of love of God. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाखया चक्षुर उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं. वन्देहं श्री गुरु श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साधवेतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पदान सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितंश्च. हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमस्तुते. तप्त कांचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये. वंचकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. मुखं करोति वाचलं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वंदे श्री गुरुं दीनतारिणं परमानंद माधवं श्री चैतन्यईश्वरम्. So welcome everyone to the morning class, and before I begin, would like to request blessings from all the devotees assembled here and watching online, so we can speak something worthwhile today on this wonderful verse and purport. So Prabhupada is mentioning few points here about manifested and non-manifested personalities, as it's mentioned in the verse. So one thing is there, as mentioned in the purport, that in this age of Kali, the manifested demigods are also not to be seen. So that means before the age of Kali, at least demigods were visible to the people in general. But this age of Kali, we have even missed that opportunity. So it seems like a bit of a bad luck, you know. Not that we want to see the demigods, but it says the opportunity has been lost. So it says that Kali Yuga, the situation is prayan alpeshu sabhya kalo asmin yuge jana mand sumand mateyo mand bhagya hi upadrita, which means the situation in Kali Yuga is short lives, quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all disturbed. So it's a situation that it's we can see that it's unlucky. We are unlucky that we can't even what we are seeing, we can't even see the demigods, what to speak of the supreme personality of Godhead. So in this age of Kali, whatever we see generally, you know, with our gross eyes, we believe that only, as Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport, that whatever we see, we believe only that. If we don't see God or demigods, we don't believe that they are there. So it's like seeing is believing. But generally, whatever we are seeing is all temporary. You know, whatever we are seeing through gross eyes is generally all temporary. It's not going to last. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, na asato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate sata. Ubhayor api dristo antastva ananyostatva darshi bhi. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, there is no endurance, and of the eternal, which is the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. So whatever we are seeing is basically asat, basically, which is all temporary. It's not going to last. It's constant change. In our material life, we are constantly seeing change, whether it's our location, with our situation, with our work. It's constantly changing, whatever we are seeing around us. And whatever we don't see, which is the soul, the Supreme God, there is no change. It is eternal. So that's how, here in the verse, Prabhupada is saying that authentic scriptures, we should be able to see the God and demigods through authentic scriptures, because authentic scriptures, now what do authentic scriptures give us? What do we get from the scriptures? Anyone? The truth. Yeah, thank you. Yes, the truth. Anyone else? What do we get from the scriptures? What do we receive from the scriptures? Sorry? Lord himself, yes. Krishna Katha, yes. Sorry? Knowledge. Thank you, Prabhu. That was the answer I was looking for, but all your answers are correct. So authentic scriptures give us knowledge. You know, they are the bona fide source of knowledge. They are also called as Veda. Veda means knowledge. And Vedas are also called Aparushya, which means they are not man-made. They are not made by any person. It's not like scripture has done by any man. So that's why there's Aparushya. Parushya is man, and Aparushya is not made by man. That's how Vedas are. That's how knowledge is. That's why it is so pure, and that's why the source is directly from the Supreme. And because Vedas are not created, they are not man-made, they are free from what we call as four principal defects, which is normally we see in all the conditioned souls. And I'm sure anyone can say what are the four principal defects, what is generally we see. This is Prabhupada explained this, that there are, yes, cheating propensities. Thank you, Prabhu. That's one done. Illusion. Thank you, Prabhu. That's second. Make mistakes. That's third. One more. Imperfect senses. So, yes. So, making mistakes. Thank you, everyone. So, this is the defects in every conditioned soul, which Prabhupada says, that we have tendency to make mistakes. Whatever we try as much as possible, that happens. You know, there is a propensity for cheating, which is there somehow or the other, that comes through illusioned. We are always, you know, something or the other comes, and there's a certainty of being illusioned. And then, of course, imperfect senses, as in the purport, Prabhupada is saying, what we see, we don't believe, because that means we have imperfect senses. We are not seeing through scriptures. We are seeing through our own vision, our own eyes, and our own limited understanding. So that is imperfect senses, you know, and we rely on those things. But whereas Vedas, they are free from these four defects. Also, about Vedas, there's a very interesting verse Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matha smriti jnanam apohanam cha vedescha sarver aham eva vedyo vedantakrit vedavid eva chaham. You know, so what Krishna is saying about Vedas, about the scriptures, that first of all, Krishna says, I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am knower of the Vedas. So ultimately, we have to know, when we are studying scriptures, the purpose is to know Krishna, know Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's what Prabhupada is mentioning here in the purport, that we have to, through scriptures, we have to see God, we have to know God. And that's how the existence of the Supreme God can be seen through the Vedas. Because Krishna, Prabhupada says that if we want to see Supreme, we see through our ears. We don't see Krishna through our eyes. Because by hearing, we'll be able to see Krishna by hearing. So also it is the thing is that by understanding, what do we gain when we understand the existence of God? What do we understand further? When we understand the existence of the God, we understand our own existence as well. You know, it's that's why it's called a science of self-realization. Ultimately, it's realizing our own self. The thing is, we don't know about ourselves. So how can we find about other things? You know, the main thing is we have to know who we are, you know, our own existence. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a very beautiful verse. It says, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Andhakara, Maya Ha Andhakara, Jaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Adhikara. Yeah. So Krishna is like sunshine, and Maya is compared to darkness. So wherever there is sunshine, there cannot be darkness. As soon as we see, as soon as we take to Krishna consciousness, the darkness of illusion, the influence of external energy will immediately vanish. You know, so Prabhupada gives this nice analogy that we can't even see our own hands when there is darkness. We can't even see our own self. But as soon as there is sunlight, there is sunshine, we can see our own hands. So this is so imperfect, the imperfect senses, that we can't see our own things. That's why it's always important that we go through the scriptures to understand the existence of God. And this way, when we are accepting the existence of the gods, we receive the mercy of the God, and we receive the mercy in so many ways. But I thought we can just focus on three ways maybe today, when we are talking about God. How do you spell God? G-O-D, right? So the first thing is G. So what, when we get the mercy of God, what we get? What gives God gives us? God gives us guidance through the scriptures. You know, the first thing is we receive guidance. And guidance is needed at every step in our spiritual life. You know, we need it right from the beginning stage and all through in our spiritual life. How much we advance, we keep needing guidance. It's not that, okay, I've read Bhagavad Gita, that's it. You know, I can just, you know, continue. So Prabhupada mentions very nicely on this, that the modern civilization, we are teaching how to enjoy this material world to the fullest extent. Bhog Aishwarya, sense gratification. And for sense gratification, material opulence. But he does not know that he is killing himself. He is aggravating the disease. He has to accept another body, but that he does not know, that he will have to take birth and die. Again, the same business, that he does not know. Therefore, this civilization is misguided. Prabhupada says modern civilization is misguided. We don't have the guidance which is available in the scriptures. We don't take advantage of this guidance. So as I said, to practice bhakti, we need constant guidance. Even Arjun in Bhagavad Gita, he was asking for guidance from Krishna. And we have so many examples in scriptures where devotees have got guidance, and they could progress in their spiritual life. Like we know Dhruv Maharaj, when he was going to the forest, Narad Muni instructed him, gave him the guidance on about this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He said, you say this mantra and you will receive the mercy of the Lord. Even the Prachetas, they got from Lord Shiva, you know, they got the guidance in Srimad Bhagavatam. So there are many examples, and that how guidance is needed. That's the beginning of our spiritual life. When we start, we need to know where we have to go, you know, and what we have to do, basically, you know. So, and then, that's G. So first we get guidance when we receive this mercy. Then after G comes O. So what God gives us in the form of O, God teaches us obedience. You know? So again, I mean, what's the point of having the guidance if we can't obey, if we don't want to obey on that guidance? If we know everything, but we just leave it like that, you know. We know about Bhagavad Gita, we know the instructions. We can even repeat those instructions, but if we can't obey, then it's not going to help us. So here also, there's a nice quote by Prabhupada about obedience. So Prabhupada says, obedience is the first law of discipline. Obedience is the first law of discipline. The people have become disobedient to the laws of God, and therefore neither rain nor wealth is equally distributed. A man who is ultimately disobedient cannot have good qualifications. When disobedient leaders lead the disobedient people, the whole atmosphere of the administration becomes polluted and full of dangers, as when a blind man leads several other blind men. The state taxes therefore should be spent to build the character of the people in general. That will bring happiness to the citizens of the state. So Prabhupada is mentioning here that it's so important to build the character and to be obedient, you know. Otherwise, it's all theoretical knowledge, you know, if we are not listening to the laws. So God gives us guidance. God teaches us obedience through this, through the mercy. And then finally, D, which means God brings discipline in our lives. So to completely receive God, we have to also have discipline. That will complete God. So again, it's very, very interesting here. I was saying that when Prabhupada is talking about obedience, he also talks about discipline somewhere. And he says, when he's saying obedience is the first law of discipline, he also says discipline is the first law of obedience. He's also saying that discipline is the first law of obedience. So I'll just read a few lines what Prabhupada says here. Just the scientists, they are trying to understand the laws of God, but because they are imperfect, therefore they cannot understand what is God in spite of their scientific improvement. They do not know. Ask any scientist, you are a great scientist, can you say what is God? The reply will be no, we don't believe in God, we don't believe. Why? You believe in the laws of God? Yes, that we are studying. But the laws means somebody has made that law. That is our experience. Just like when we understand government laws, we understand also the government has enacted this law. We understand that. Just like on the street, when you go, it is written there, keep to the left. It is the order of the government. You have to abide by that. That is obedience to the government. Discipline. Discipline is the first law of obedience. If people do not care for the government laws, then there will be chaos. So basically, you can see that how obedience and discipline, they are all both interconnected. And Prabhupada further says that obedience is the first law of discipline. If there is no obedience, there cannot be any discipline. And if there is no discipline, you cannot manage anything. So how, you know, we have to, in our spiritual life, how discipline is also so important. You know, when Arjun was praying to Krishna in the beginning, when he says, Karpanya dosho, pahata swabhava. So in that verse, he's saying all these things. He's asking for guidance. He's also ready to obey. He's saying, you know, I'm your... And he's also ready to become a disciple. He says, I'm your disciple. So discipline comes from the word disciple. Basically, disciple is someone who is disciplined. So he wants to... He's asking to become... He says, now I'm a disciple, you know. So this is how it begins, the spiritual journey, you know. So that's... I thought that's just to think about how we can think God in our lives, like how we can have guidance... How we should look for guidance, how we should be ready to be obedient, and how we should be disciplined in our lives, whatever we are doing, consistently in our spiritual life. When we are chanting or reading or serving, it's not a one-day thing, or it's not a sprint. You know, we have to have we are going for a long-term thing. You know, we are going for a higher purpose. So knowing everything, but then applying is also important. You know, and for that, self-discipline is important. Integrity, honesty. Is important on what, how we lead our spiritual life, because it's not that when somebody is watching we have to do something. When somebody is not, when nobody is watching, then also how we perform in our spiritual life. That's integrity. That's important. So, it's important that scriptures play a very important part in our life and how we receive the scriptures, how we live the scriptures. But then also, when we are studying the scriptures. Sometimes it on our own it can be difficult, and it's not easy. So for that, it's a very nice arrangement Krishna has made, that when we are trying to follow this, when we are trying to live the scriptures, we try to follow those who are living the scriptures, you know, and they are sadhus, they are the saintly persons, you know. Prabhupada mentions that sadhu sastra guru vakya tineta kariya aikya. So basically, these are three parallel lines in our spiritual life: sadhu, shastra, and guru. You know? So when we read from shastra, we also our conviction, our faith increases when we see those sadhus who are following these scriptures, who are living those scriptures. You know, otherwise we think, okay, it's all in the pages, but who is there? Who I can see as an example? And that's why we have to be in the association of sadhus. You know, because when we are with sadhus, we see them. That they are following, and they inspire us also to follow. You know? And they are the authorities because they are following this. They have accepted. They are realized souls, you know. A few more points I just wanted to share. So here, again, Prabhupada mentions that sadhu, saintly person, beginning from Vyasadeva, Narad, down to many acharyas, Ramanujacharya, Madhavacharya, Vishnu Swami, and latest Lord Chaitanya, in this way, they have accepted Bhagavad Gita, they have accepted the scriptures. So sadhus are who have accepted. And this is the proof. So saintly persons have accepted. And because saintly persons have accepted, it is scripture. These are scriptures. That is the test. That is how we test. So we would be hearing a lot of time about scriptures, what is a scripture, or how do we authenticate a scripture. It's how the saintly persons have accepted them. You know, like this Bhagavad Gita, when we see, they have accepted. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has accepted that. So Prabhupada gives an example. He says, if lawyers accept some book, then it is to be understood that this is law book. You cannot say that, how can I accept this is law? The evidence is lawyers are accepting. If medical practitioners accept, then that is authoritative medical book. Similarly, if saintly persons are accepting Bhagavad Gita as scripture, you cannot deny it. You know. So it's very interesting how there is a link between sadhu, shastra and guru. These three are how they are linked. So sadhu confirms the scriptures, and spiritual master accepts the scripture. You know, this is how Prabhupada defines that sadhu confirms the scripture and spiritual master accepts the scripture. It's the same thing actually. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki chai, Gaur Nitai ki chai, Shila Prabhupada ki chai. So this is a very simple process in our spiritual life. These three parallel lines. That first we accept the scripture, then we follow those who are following the scripture, sadhu, who are confirming the scriptures, and then guru, who is accepting the scripture. And then also, you know, there are so many scriptures around us, but for us, or for everyone actually, Srila Prabhupada's books are scriptures, you know. They are universal scriptures, that's why today morning also we heard the score of book distribution, because these books are universal. It's not that we come into that process first and then we start reading books, Prabhupada books. In fact, we come because of Prabhupada books, irrespective of what our background is. We could be coming from different nationalities or different moods or different natures, but Prabhupada books are very universal and they are actually scriptures. So they, because Prabhupada says, I just mention everything as it is, you know. Everything is as it is. Prabhupada is not making any changes. So those scriptures which we are talking about, those authentic scriptures, are coming to us as they are. And that's why they make an effect on us. You know, that's why we feel that. And Prabhupada said that these books will be law book for next 10,000 years. You know? So that's why we always refer to the books. You know, any problem in life, you know, man-made laws are not going to help us. You know, in fact, they complicate things more. There are so many laws we talk about, but they are all creating more and more problems. We try to find solution with man-made laws, but they are temporary solutions. Ultimately, they create more problems. You know, there are so many things. Laws keep changing, you know, because they are not perfect. Man-made laws keep changing, but scriptures don't change. And books, Prabhupada messages. We have so much clarity in the books. Every one of us, each one of us here sitting in this room and watching, we have different problems, different sets of challenges, but we all come to the common platform of Prabhupada books and we read them and we all get our own answers individually, as if Prabhupada is talking to us individually, you know. Because they are the scriptures, they are the Vedas. So but it's interesting that when we talk about Bhagavad Gita, how important it is to read from Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Actually, I always hear from Prabhupada books, he always talk about Mayavadis and, you know, this is that. So I always used to think that, you know, maybe in my life, will I meet a Mayavadi face to face, or will I talk to a Mayavadi? I don't know, because I never had that kind of conversation or that kind of interaction. So recently, someone came to a program. They are from India and they follow a different, like outside ISKCON, they follow a different spiritual organization. But they follow Bhagavad Gita. What they do is they read Bhagavad Gita every time they meet. They read a verse, they discuss. They have been doing this for many, many years, like 15, 20 years, they were saying. So we were discussing about Bhagavad Gita and I said, yes, in my mind I was thinking we both are talking of the same Bhagavad Gita. It's the same thing because Bhagavad Gita is same. So just we were discussing some point and then we said, yeah, it's so nice that we are all parts and parcel of Krishna. So immediately he said, we are not parts and parcel of Krishna, we all are Krishna, you know, he said. So I said, I thought maybe I heard it wrong. So I said, yeah, we are all parts and parcel of Krishna. So he said, no, we are not parts and parcel of Krishna, we are not parts, we all are Krishna. So I said, I mean, he's reading Bhagavad Gita, and Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavad Gita itself, Krishna says, you know, there's one of the verse which says, Mama Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, where Krishna is saying that all the living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. So I did not quote the verse straight away to him, which would have been maybe taken it in a different angle. But we sat down, I did explain him that, you know, we are all energies of Krishna. There are three energies, you know, Antaranga Shakti, Bhairanga Shakti, Tatash Shakti. So, you know, external energy, internal energy, and we are the marginal energy, and how we come in contact with material energy, and then, you know, under Maya, we are conditioned. So he was listening to it. I don't know how much he agreed to it. He was saying, yes, yes, yes. He was saying, you know, he said, yeah. And then he kept quiet. I didn't say anything after that. He had no other argument to that. But I felt he agreed to what I was saying. But I don't know how much he was convinced on that or how much he... Because he didn't have any questions or he didn't ask anything after that. I thought maybe we can have a conversation based on that. But it just... Maybe he was not happy to be defeated or maybe, you know, he did not like it or whatever. I don't know. But he just kept quiet. So I was thinking that how Prabhupada is not distorting any facts. But because they must be reading these verses, no? If they are reading Bhagavad Gita, they must have read this particular verse where Krishna is saying, Mama Vamsho means my parts. So where is the doubt on that? You know, where is the question on that? But Prabhupada has made sure that, you know, we get that message. He's not diluting or distracting or not coming in between that message, you know, just giving it, being a transparent medium to us and giving us so much clarity. It frees us from so much of doubt, you know, and empowers us with so much of knowledge. And so it is, it's a wonderful process about the scriptures, and it's a wonderful process to be a part of this movement, you know. And so many devotees, so many people have got these books which have been distributed, hundreds of books have been distributed in summer marathon. So whoever is getting these books, one day they will also be reading through these pages of Bhagavad Gita, and they will also be getting the benefit, and they will also be able to progress, you know, in their spiritual life. So all glories to the Sankirtan devotees who are just going out and you know, doing this wonderful task and serving Srila Prabhupada. So I think that was a little bit of points from my side. So I think maybe we can stop here for some questions or any comments or any corrections if there's anything from anyone. Anybody? Any other questions? Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a very nice class. You know, you mentioned about this last example about the person you met outside. Was it confirmed that they were reading the As It Is Bhagavad Gita, or was it a different Bhagavad Gita?
Exactly. So they had a different Bhagavad Gita. They did not have a Prabhupada Bhagavad Gita. They did mention an organization, obviously, to me, which they are following, which is in India. And actually, it's quite a popular organization. But I never knew that. I have heard about that organization. I know about that personality. And I thought that they are also devotees. But I never knew that that comes under Mayavad. I mean, this kind of teachings. Because I thought it's what Bhagavad Gita is. Bhagavad Gita is. But now I understand why it is important when Prabhupada mentions that we should be reading Bhagavad Gita as it is. And no other version. So, like Prabhupada says, there are about 600 versions of Bhagavad Gita in the world. But how many Bhagavad Gita could make them a devotee? You know. So, by speaking everything, if we are not able to become a devotee, what's the point? Because ultimately, Bhagavad Gita's message is to become a devotee, is to surrender. Krishna says at the end, surrender to me. And how we can surrender is by becoming a devotee. So if we don't become a devotee and just keep reading and reading and reading and, you know, just go through what's the point. So definitely it was not Bhagavad Gita as it is, that's for sure. It was a different organization.
Because Sanskrit is a very complex language and it can easily be misunderstood or mistranslated. So then perhaps the reading was that he misread the translation.
Good point, Prabhu. I think you are right. Mama Vamsho could be maybe translated in a different way. Because for us, it's a simple way. Because Prabhupada has said, Amsha is part. Prabhupada is saying, my part. But then you are right. Because Prabhupada has done that. He has done word for word translation. I don't think anyone has done this. Where each word he separates and then he mentions in English what it is. And then we can understand. So you are right. Mama Vamsho could be... Somebody could say something on that, or maybe nothing on that. So you are right, actually. That's a good point, because and that's why, you know, it's important that everybody should understand the difference between Bhagavad Gita as it is and any other Bhagavad Gita. It's not, I'm reading Bhagavad Gita, you are reading Bhagavad Gita, it's fine, we are same. No, it's not. It's not. It's important which Bhagavad Gita are you reading. That's why many times we ask people, when they say, oh yeah, I have Bhagavad Gita. My wife actually, she asked, is it Bhagavad Gita as it is? Do you have Prabhupada's version of Bhagavad Gita? Which one are you reading? So we should always, when somebody says, we should not assume that it is Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. You know? Because we are so much into Prabhupada books that we just take it in that way. Prabhu has a...
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for the class. A question for you. In Second Canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada is preaching quite strongly about this description is fallible soldiers. You're probably familiar with this. I think it's quite early on in Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto. I just wondered why, if Prabhupada is preaching very strongly about these fallible soldiers, the family and so on and so forth, why there is the emphasis currently in the temple here to have elaborate facilities for weddings.
Sorry, Prabhu, I didn't get the question. Can you repeat what's the word you said? Or Prabhupada is referring to which word?
Fallible soldiers.
Right, fallible soldiers, okay. Mm-hmm. So your question is?
Why, if Prabhupada is preaching very strongly against... Prabhupada is preaching strongly against relying on family and relying on this these fallible soldiers, then why we are providing such elaborate facilities for weddings?
Anybody would like to comment on that? Because maybe Srinivas Prabhu, you can.
I mean, there's two lines running always, all times. The line of Prajapati Daksha and line of Narada Muni. So our line, as coming in disciplic succession, is to go back to Godhead, right? In the line of Narada Muni. At the same time, you can't stop the line of Prajapati Daksha, which is the line of family continuing in the material world. And Prabhupada does say, in the Bhagavad Gita purport, he does say that even a sannyasi shouldn't go against marriage because it's more of marriage is there to help people come to a mode of goodness, settle the mind so they can take to spiritual life. So it's a part of a way how people can take to Krishna consciousness. So you can't just deny marriage completely.
Thank you, Guru.
If I just can elaborate a little bit further, for example, there seems to be very elaborate facilities for the weddings, yet here, where the devotees are, we have vinyl floor, which is coming up, and just seems to be a reflection of where the value is at the moment, in my mind. Hare Krishna.
Anybody else has any comments, any questions? Yeah? Okay. Thank you. No, I think Thank you so much, and just beg for forgiveness for any mistakes committed by me. So thank you all for your kind attention, and thank you so much. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.